Good morning, West London Alliance Church family. My name is Nathan Dunmore. It's a privilege for me to be here with you all this morning. It's been my privilege over the last 2 years to study and to complete my studies with Union School of Theology, and also at the same time to be serving with John Magwood in student ministries as a ministry apprentice here at WLA. Again, it's my privilege to be here with you this morning. If you're like me at all, you've probably spent some time standing in front of your closet or deciding what clothes to wear for different events. Maybe it's a wedding and you're looking through your nice shirts and ties, deciding what to wear, or a nice dress. Maybe you've got a job interview coming up and you want to wear something nice that will impress the interviewer. Maybe it's just picking out a pair of sweatpants and a sweatshirt to sit on the couch on a Friday evening and watch TV or a sports game. The reason we sometimes have to deliberate and think about what we're going to wear is that we all know that the clothes we wear can communicate a lot about us. In fact, by looking at someone's clothes, we can sometimes even tell who they are. If right now, through the back door, someone was to walk in wearing the suit, badge, and gun of a London, Ontario police officer, we would all immediately tell who they are. Or if somebody was to burst in wearing the heavy coat and pants and helmet of a fireman, we could all tell what they do for a living. The Apostle Paul picks up on this same sort of idea in Colossians chapter 3, our passage for today, where Paul discusses how Christians are supposed to clothe themselves in a spiritual sense. So if you think of the clothes that you wore this week as you interacted with your family and friends and coworkers, was it obvious to them that you are one who is chosen by God, holy and beloved? Our passage for today is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, and I'll read that now from the English Standard Version. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, when we arrive at passages in the Bible like this one that include lots of commands or imperatives for how we are to live our lives, it's important for us to remember why exactly these passages have been included. Here in Colossians 3, Paul begins with his command to put on in verse 12. But he then immediately describes how and why we are called to put on, when he follows that by saying that we are to put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Paul is saying here that the reason we are called to be clothed like Christ, to put on these clothes that he's described in the passage, is that we are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Now, my experience and the experience of every other Christian here today is that at one point in our lives, God changed us. At one point, we were of the world. We did not believe in God or follow his commandments. Yet, one day, by grace, we recognized the sin in our lives and our need for Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And our lives were changed. And this change, a change from being of the world to being one of God's chosen ones, and of moving from death to life and being made holy, is a change that is only made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's only through our union with Christ, through faith, that our lives can be changed for eternity. I know many of you here have experienced the new life that Jesus gives. But if you're here today and you've never experienced this, and you've never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd encourage you to talk to me or one of the staff or elders after the service. This gospel truth that we are God's chosen ones and that we are wholly set apart from the world is what Paul puts forward here as the reason for why we are to clothe ourselves like Christ. And I'm thankful he's included this gospel truth here, as he has at other points in Colossians, because it can help us to avoid two potential dangers we often face in our own hearts when we approach passages like this in Scripture, including lots of commands for our lives. The first danger that we might face can come from a selfish pride in our own ability to do right before God, a belief that what we do can earn God's favor, or that we can even earn our own salvation. So then with this attitude, when we read a passage like this, where we are commanded to be loving and kind and patient, we put all of our effort and we strive towards these things, thinking that if we can do them well enough, then we will earn God's favor. Then God will be pleased with us. But the testimony throughout the rest of Scripture is that this is not the way that it works. Throughout the rest of Scripture, the consistent message is that it is God who has chosen us, and then he has called us to be holy, like he is holy. Not that we are to become good enough first, and then he will choose us. So as we consider the commands that Paul lays out for us in Colossians 3, let us remember that we are called to clothe ourselves in these attributes because we have already been chosen by God, and that the call of our life is to be a living sacrifice in his honor. A second danger we might face when we come to a list of commands like this in the Bible is to feel apathetic towards them. We might tune out calls from God's word to holy lives that demonstrate kindness, patience, and humility, because inwardly, we think that we are already doing these well enough. We feel like we've heard these basic lessons 1,000 times on Sundays, and we know what it means to live a Christian life. We've heard this before, and now we're ready for the next lessons to learn, the higher things to pursue. We also might feel apathetic towards these commands because we feel so discouraged in our battle against sin and worldliness that we don't ever think we will be able to follow God's commands in the way that he desires for us. So, in our struggle, we just give up on trying. But to remain apathetic towards God's commands for our lives is to ignore that God has called us to a lifelong journey of becoming more Christ-like. An honest reflection for each one of us here today would reveal that over the last week, days, or maybe even this morning before church, there are areas that we have fallen short in. And furthermore, to give up on pursuing God's commands for our lives is to forget that Christ's work did not end at the cross, but rather that we, as his beloved chosen people, are promised that Christ himself will continue and finish his work in us. So as we consider the commands that Paul lays out for us now, let us not think that we are called to pursue these attributes so that we will find favor with God, but let us remember that we are called to pursue these attributes because we've been chosen by God. Let us also not develop a feeling of apathy towards God's commands, but let us remember that God has chosen us, and he's called us to a life of continually pursuing him and becoming more like him. What then are we called to put on? Well, throughout the rest of the passage, Paul provides examples of many attributes that we are called to clothe ourselves in because we have been chosen by God. In verse 12, Paul begins with 5 virtues we're called to put on. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. These attributes begin to describe how we are to be clothed like Christ. These are the things that people should see us wearing, that they should associate with us. So if we have been chosen by God, then it is right for us to examine our own hearts and evaluate if we have clothed ourselves like Christ, or if we look no different from the rest of the world around us, or no different from before we were saved and God changed our lives. It's right for us to ask ourselves if we demonstrate compassion in our actions and words when we interact with those who are less fortunate than us. Does the way that we organize our finances demonstrate a compassionate heart that is ready and willing to give joyfully? How can you practice kindness as you interact with your spouse, your family, your kids, your coworkers this week? Are we willing to be meek and patient when we disagree with or are frustrated with someone at work? These first 5 attributes that Paul commands us to clothe ourselves in are all ways that we can live out our calling as God's chosen ones. And they are all ways that we can offer our lives as a living sacrifice to him who has saved us. Paul continues on with an extended comment on patience here in verse 13, where he says that we are to bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. For some of you here today, it is not difficult to think of someone in your life who's really hard to get along with or who you have a grudge with. There are sometimes people as we go about our lives who we really just want to avoid at all costs. Even those, and sometimes especially those, who we are close with, like our family or our friends, provoke us easily to anger. But here in Colossians, Paul calls us to bear with one another, and beyond just bearing with one another, to be ready to forgive each other. So if we, as God's chosen people, are those who have clothed themselves with a readiness to forgive others, our witness in the workplace, at home with our families, and wherever else we are, will demonstrate that we are different from the world, especially in a world where people are so easily, readily ready to be offended. The last attribute in this section that Paul tells us to put on is love. In verse 14, Paul says that love is what binds together, that it is the attribute that is put on over all of the previous attributes we've talked about. With the warm weather we're having right here, I'm sure nobody really wants to think back to winter, but the idea that I think of when Paul talks about love going over all of these other clothes is like a child's snowsuit in the winter. It goes over all of the other layers. Just so, love is the all-encompassing attribute here that Paul calls us to pursue. In love is forgiveness and kindness and patience and so on. But we need love as the attribute that covers and encompasses all of those. So Paul has given us a long list of attributes to pursue. But just like how I'm trying something new this summer and I'm playing soccer with some of my friends and they asked me to be the goalkeeper, I've been watching some videos on YouTube trying to emulate some of the great goalkeepers of soccer like Thibaut Courtois or Manuel Neuer. And I'm trying to imitate the example that they show in these highlights. I'll let my teammates say whether or not I'm doing that fairly well. But in the same way, we as Christians need an example as we desire to grow in Christ-likeness. And for the Apostle Paul here, that example is our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul most clearly uses the example of Jesus with regard to his command to forgive one another. Because no act of forgiveness has ever been greater, and no act of forgiveness will ever be greater than the forgiveness that has been shown to us in God sending his own Son as a sacrifice for our sins, so that we might be made right with him. And therefore, a genuine recognition of the guilt that we deserve as the penalty for our sins, and yet the grace and mercy that has been extended to us by the holy creator of the world, should create in our own hearts a posture that is ready to forgive others for the wrongs that they have done against us. The example of Christ beyond just that of forgiveness can be seen with regard to the attributes that Paul mentioned in verses 12 and 13. In the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, we see the compassion that he had on the sick and the poor, the kindness that he displayed in his interactions with Gentiles and Samaritans, those who were on the fringes of society or those who the Jews would not normally have had a friendly conversation with. We see, too, the humility, meekness, and patience in Christ's willingness as the Son of God to subject himself to torture, slander, and the death at the hand of the very people that he helped to create. So while Christ's death is an example for us in humility, meekness, and patience, it can also be seen as an example for us of love, and the greatest example of love that we've ever seen. In 1 John 3, John describes how we know what love is, that we know love in that Christ laid down his life for us. And because we know this, we therefore ought to be prepared to lay down our lives as well. In all of these attributes that Paul has called us to clothe ourselves in, Christ is the ultimate example. So, believer, as we pursue holiness in this way, let us consider the example of Christ and consider how in our own lives we can demonstrate the same sort of sacrificial love that he has shown to us. Now, I don't have time today to dive into everything that Paul mentions in verses 15 and 16, but I would like to draw your attention to one thing that we can draw from this text. Paul uses verses 15 and 16 to frame these other attributes that he has talked about in a specific context. The command to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts is given in the context of having been called in one body. And the word of Christ is to dwell in us richly through the teaching and admonishing of one another in wisdom. Both of these commands frame the previous exhortations as being especially important in the context of the church body. Paul's desire is that the church, the gathered assembly of God's people, would be clothed in the same clothes. He wants us to look unified. You might imagine the Canadian Olympic delegation marching out, all with a red maple leaf on their uniforms at the Olympics in a few months. In the same way, as the individuals who make up the church, whether that's the church here of West London Alliance or the global church, we are all called to be clothed like Christ as God's chosen people. Because while each one of us, by God's grace, can be used for his will in the different places that we are, the cumulative testimony of an entire community here being clothed like Christ is a great way to testify to God's greatness in our lives. I'll conclude today with Paul's conclusion to our passage in verse 17, where he says that whatever we do, whether the words we speak or the actions we take, we are to do all of it in the name of Jesus, and we are to give thanks to God through him. As God's chosen people, we are called to live our lives in the name of Jesus because it's by his power that we've been saved. Through his perfect life, death, and resurrection, we who were sinners and were apart from God have now become his chosen ones, and we have been called to be clothed like Christ. And beyond saving us, through our union with Christ, we've been raised to new life. And we've been given the power to grow in Christ-likeness, the power to grow in kindness, patience, and love. Jesus Christ himself is the gracious gift of the Father to whom we are called to give thanks here. So as I close out this message here, and as you prepare for the week ahead, consider which of the clothes we've talked about today that you need to pursue. Whether you recognize a need in your own life to grow in compassion and kindness towards others, humility in your own heart, love, or any of the other attributes that Paul has talked about. I encourage you as God's chosen people to clothe yourselves like Christ. And give thanks to God the Father for sending his son Jesus that we might be raised with him to new life. Because it's by the power of God that we may put on these new clothes. And it's for the glory of God that we might become more and more like him. Whatever you do this week, do it in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to gather and to bring praise towards you and to study your word. Lord, I thank you for the gracious gift of your son. I thank you for the ways that he has changed so many lives here today. Lord, I pray that as we continue to grow in holiness, that we would seek to clothe ourselves like Christ, and that by your spirit, you would enable us to become more like him. Lord, I pray that the testimony of our lives as we endeavor to demonstrate kindness and love and patience in the way that you have shown to us would be a testimony to others of your work in our lives and that it would draw them towards you. I pray all of this in your holy and